Live from the Goop Studios Vape Juice Manufactory, it's Shenanigans.
It tastes like my vagina.
This week we are remote once again. We have Rich.
Hello.
And Walden. He's not going to say anything. He's too busy playing video games, Walt.
He's trying to find another background for Zoom.
Right. He had a good background in our warm-up there.
It was hideous.
And we have Alan back from his brush with Cootie's death.
Hello, everybody.
He's got the shittiest technology. He's got the shittiest technology, and he sounds the clearest on Zoom. Riddle me that, Riddler.
What's up, Galaxy S5?
For the win. I told you it was good enough.
Hopefully after this week, we can rely a little less on technology than Zoom.
This whole thing depends on technology, Craig.
No, I don't like this Zoom stuff at all.
No one is whittling a podcast.
I just don't like...
We need to be back in the studio.
Right. I'm going to put up plexiglass shields so that even Walden can come. And I have a... You know those things at the fair when it's really hot, you walk through the spray so you can stay cool? I have that with Lysol. So you can walk through that on your way into the house, and then the plexiglass shields will be good.
You're going to ruin our...
Take a deep breath. Ultraviolet light.
I could do the ultraviolet light, and I also have syringes with Clorox.
There's some way we can put the ultraviolet into our bodies. It'd be great.
I don't know. Snack on the Tide Pods. That was working for me.
I was hoping that we could extend an invitation to one Rob Gronkowski, but apparently for the next 3 weeks, he's otherwise occupied.
Yeah, I was going to say he was busy this weekend. Winning
only once or twice. I don't think he was the playmaker in the game. And like Walden said earlier, Tom Brady did everything he could to let Aaron Rodgers win.
Three picks is a lot of picks,
and no points off the picks. What the hell is that?
I mean, on top of it, the difference in the game is that touchdown at the end of the half, which
you can't
do that.
There were a couple things I noticed in that game. One was Rodgers should have run the damn ball in for the touchdown. Even if he doesn't make it on that fourth down, instead of going for the field goal, he's got Tampa pinned inside the five when they take over on downs. So it just didn't make any sense. And then going for the 2 points that early in the game, stupid move. Take the points when you can get them.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Well, they were trying too hard, because just take the extra point that you're guaranteed early and then build up later.
Yeah. I don't know. Even an extra point isn't guaranteed nowadays since they moved it back.
And now
Tyler Bass.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about was Patrick Mahomes during his calls in the game. You know how they call out the numbers and the calls or wherever the play is going to be? I heard all day he would say, 319, no goal, no goal, hut. I'm like, you little dickhead. And then later in the game, I heard him saying wide right, like, you shitbird.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Got a little punchy there at the end of that game, the Bills game.
Yeah, it needed to get a little ugly. Too bad they couldn't be a little ugly early.
They played a very conservative game.
Yeah, their last five plays of the drive, the defense looked great.
Mm-hmm.
The best pass that Allen threw all night was into what's his name's face mask. It was on the ground.
Yep.
What are they calling it? The doink heard round the world.
Really?
Yeah.
And forgive me if I'm wrong. Walden will know better than anyone else. Deion Dawkins is a mild mannered guy, and he was pretty pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually played paintball with Deion Dawkins.
Really?
Once. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Is he kind of?
He's a pretty cool dude.
I was gonna say he seems like he's laid back.
He is. It was him and Wyatt Teller, and there's another offensive lineman, Connor McDermott.
Really?
That were all there.
I played golf one time with Nathan Pache from the Sabres.
Oh, really?
Years ago, me and Nathan and my coworker Bryce, and I'm not exactly sure who Bryce was golfing with from the Sabres. We were the foursome. I am fairly positive we're not allowed back at that golf course. Any of us.
Well, Pache is hockey royalty in this town. He can go wherever the hell he wants.
Exactly. Which means he can go over here to the county course.
Oh, for sure.
Before anytime. April 1st and kind of walk on.
He can walk on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and pay for all you can play. Not like 5 o'clock like everybody else.
Right. He's not doing anything, is he?
That's the first time I've heard his name in probably 10 years.
Rich is couponing.
Extreme couponing?
No, it was not extreme couponing. I've got the shitty old tablet kicking around. You're gonna
try to hook it up for Alan?
Yeah.
Does it have a
webcam? I'm already working on next week's episode. Doesn't seem like Alan has much to say today, though.
I'm just watching all your faces go back and forth, and I'm in awe of this whole Zoom thing. Somebody talks, and the camera goes right to that person. It's awesome.
Alan, are you a Zoom virgin?
Yeah.
Oh, we popped his cherry. And it went Zoom.
There's our title, Popping Alan's Cherry.
Zoom cherry.
This is all very exciting stuff, being on the interweb.
This is his makeup after having the man flu.
I didn't even listen. I missed the episode so far, because usually when I'm working, I put it on and I listen, but I've been just putzing around doing stuff, and I saw the title with the man flu, and I got to hear that now and see what's going on, you ball busters.
Let me just say that if we didn't love you, we wouldn't make fun of you before you listen to the episode.
Which is why we didn't talk about Howie anymore.
Who?
Don't be mean, Richard.
I did a podcast with Howie over the weekend, and he goes, I want to do this podcast when no one's home so nobody could interrupt him. So we start the podcast. His cat comes in and is going, meow.
Did it upset your dog?
No. I had the headphones. You can't hear when the headphones are on.
Mm. How do you keep headphones on a dog?
Oh, you had to use the cone of shame.
Cone of shame.
Cone of shame.
Like she was stuck at a party all night and she's trying to hide in the lamp.
Is it a thing?
You don't remember your 20s, do you?
Not really.
I did that when I was about 5. And then my mother was nervous and the fire department rushed to my house like in a Christmas Story when they had to get the kid off of the bowl. And they'd come in with their jaws of life, snip me out and save my life.
In a lamp?
But I was in a lamp, yeah. I was a kid. I mean, we were living still on the west side of Buffalo. But my mother was scared because it was choking me. I don't know. For whatever reason, other parents and mothers throw cars off of their children. But yet my mother was unable
to take the lampshade
off of my head.
Fuck, Alan. My dog figured out how to take that thing off.
Do any of you follow
105?
Right. Do any of you follow the Firewire on Facebook or Twitter?
No.
No.
Yesterday there was a call in Niagara Falls for a kid stuck in a cabinet.
Did they try opening the door?
The door?
That's funny.
There was a child lock on it. They couldn't get them out.
Children are the only ones that can open themselves. Those things.
What about the people that lock themselves inside their car? I can't get out.
I got to tell you, I was working at a phone job one time, and we were up on Sheridan Drive, and where the industrial little office park is. And we were working in one suite, but the main DMARC for the phone system was in the other suite. And we told the people in the other suite that we were working in there not to lock up. We're doing an overnight job. And Wes, who was the guy who was working on that side, he was working. He was a quiet guy. He was just working along. And the guy who was left at that office walked out the door and then locked the outside door. So I go over around the corner to go, Wes, he was not answering when we're trying to call him. So I walk over there, try to let him know what's going on. We're ready to do our cutover. Door's locked. So I bang on the door and Wes comes out and he can't get out the door because it's locked with, and there's not a crash bar on it. It's just like a regular door. There's not a, like a professional door. And so I go, hold on. So I look at the other three guys I'm working with and we walk back out and here's Wes in the atrium. He's now locked himself out into the atrium. because now the inner door is locked behind him.
Now we have to airlift him out.
So all of a sudden he starts walking around. I look and the light on the alarm is blinking. I go, Wes, don't move. The alarm's going to go off. He plastered himself against the glass of the front door for 15 minutes until we figured out how to get the guy back to open him up, open up the doors and let him out. It was fucking hilarious.
He didn't do like a Catherine Zeta-Jones thing to try and get through the lasers.
Oh, no, no.
Missed opportunity, Craig. You should have put him up to it.
Well, you know, this was, let's see, I still was, this was like 1998.
Oh, they didn't even have lasers back then.
Nope, and none of them were on sharks.
I forgot how old you are.
I was wondering if Catherine Zeta-Jones was doing those movies in 1998.
That movie was out in 1998.
That movie might have come out in 1998. I don't know otherwise. What movie was that? A League of Their Own? No, that's not it.
Don't tell me.
Entrapment.
No, that's not it. No, that's it.
That was 99.
Oh, wow. Look at that. It's pretty damn close, though.
So there you go.
They had probably filmed movie, it in 98.
Exactly. See? That movie existed in 1998. I told you.
Okay.
So, my point stands. You fucked up. You should have nailed the guy. Do the thing with the lasers.
Loop him. Loop him.
He hollered himself there. Oh, wow. We're an exciting bunch tonight, aren't we?
That's right.
We're all a little hungover.
I know a guy who can edit out all the dead air.
That's good. Maybe he can also edit the whole show together.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
It would have been. I would have done it yesterday, but I did everything I could not to actually do anything on my computer. I started cleaning my attic. That's how much I didn't want to do it.
Wow.
Like Eminem.
Like Eminem.
I think that's closet, but I get the point.
I found things I didn't know I had anymore.
Such as?
Lots and lots of books, which I knew I had books, but...
You knew you had books.
I didn't realize I had that many books. I had this infatuation years ago that any book that I read had to be part of my personal library. So I'm probably around 4,000 books at the house. I went through 7 boxes of books yesterday, and 5 of them are leaving to be donated so far.
5 books or 5 boxes?
5 boxes.
Do they have books in them?
Yes.
Okay.
They're all so 5 boxes of books. 5 boxes of books. So if you have any, you know, anybody that wants book donations, I don't know if like anyone's job needs books donated to them, like sometimes hospitals do and stuff like that.
There's a church on the corner of East Avenue and Washburn that has a little library.
Dude, these are 5 boxes that are probably 70 pounds each of books.
Okay. You could probably fill that library with a few of those at a time.
That's a good idea. There's got to be other My Little Libraries around.
You want.
I'm not bringing any more damn books home.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I know. I don't believe me either.
You should just get a Kindle.
I have an Amazon order coming tomorrow. So,
books?
Yeah.
Or sex toys?
Books. But that's the end of my Christmas money. And it's going towards my presidential biography project.
It's a business expense.
Oh, there we go. I wonder if I can write that off as a business expense since I'm doing it for the website.
That's a good point. You can.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll have to tell my accountant that. I just got the finger.
You didn't even jump.
Nope. She went.
Oh, she spit on it first. That's good.
Well, it is Monday.
Yes. Another manic Monday. Those girls in that band are still beautiful, especially Susanna Hoffs.
I have not seen them recently.
I was watching Manic Monday from... She did a private show. I had to pay tokens to. But see, Matt did teach me something.
That thing kept sliding up and down, right? I put another token in.
Right. During March or April or May, during the pandemic, there were a bunch of artists who did acoustic versions of some of their most popular shows. So she sat in her living room and played an acoustic version of Eternal Flame. And she's 62 years old. And I'm like, damn, she's hot. And she still sounds like she's 12 when she sings. She's still got it.
Was she naked?
No.
I heard she's naked a lot.
Really?
Yeah, back in the day. She had a tendency to walk around naked.
Well, she's what, 5'1 and 95 pounds?
I don't see how that's relevant.
Not relevant. I was just trying to paint a picture in your mind.
I have seen her, not recently, but I do know what she looks like.
Do you know what Bigfoot looks like?
He has big feet.
Beautiful hair.
They only talk about the one.
So, yeah, they only talk about the one. Does that mean that Oklahoma has a single bag limit?
I don't know what you mean, Craig.
Oklahoma state lawmaker files a bill calling for Bigfoot hunting season. Republican state representative Justin Humphrey, he's a politician, we can mention his name, introduced legislation that would direct the Oklahoma Wildlife Conservation Commission to establish an official hunting season for Bigfoot. The commission would set annual season dates and create any necessary specific hunting licenses and fees. So you're getting a hunting license for $25 or whatever it is that says you can hunt Bigfoot. Basically, it's like buying a $100 copper bust of Lincoln.
Oh, well, I would have thought maybe buying a star.
Yes, like buying a star.
Exactly.
Oh, I have some experience with this.
Okay. Right.
Let Lord Richard speak.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. I am now a Scottish lord. There's a website that you buy 1 square foot of land in Scotland and you name yourself a lord. And they had a 2-for-1 sale. So I am now Lord Richard and my lovely wife is Lady Tammy.
So do you have is it Lord Richard of the Dodge or Lord Richard of...
No, it's Lord Nottingham. Richard of 1 square foot.
Lord Richard, wow, who witches he was a foot? Kind
of cool.
A square foot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, too.
They make special shoes for that. Inserts in your sneakers.
That's a club foot. Club foot.
Oh, sorry. That's close.
I thought you were going to say you bought a star. Which is
very popular in Asian culture.
No, I did not buy a star. That is a scam. I looked into it.
And
what they do, they put your name and the fact that you made the purchase in a book, and then they publish the book and put it in the Library of Congress to copyright it.
They put it in the Library of Congress to even out the tables.
That too.
Got another wobbler. Quick. Somebody purchase a galaxy.
The fire's dying down.
So this guy, Humphrey, said that his Sasquatch statement is designed to bring tourists to the state. So even though Bigfoot has never been seen outside of, your imagination, Oklahoma has a corner on the market.
Hey, whatever draws stupid people to spend money.
Right. It's been working for Walmart for years. I saw this picture, Rich, of this next article that you posted here. I can't remember what news site I saw it on, but the pink seesaws at the border wall is an amazing sight, actually. How did they get the seesaws to go back and forth between the two countries? There was no paperwork that had to be done?
Well, they hired Mexicans.
They hired Mexicans. I don't know where they got them from, but that's how it works. So, yeah, it's an art installation.
Okay.
The wall is usually designed to keep people apart, but the seesaw installation managed to bring people together on both sides of the Mexico-U.S. border. Now, the teeter-totter wall has won the 2020 Beasley Design of the Year Award, run by London's Design Museum. Seesaws replaced through sections of the wall and allowed people on both countries to play together.
Do you say the Beasley design?
Yes.
It's not broken, is it?
I don't know what that means.
I got
Quartz.
It.
That's a warrior right there. How do you play with a broken leg for 3 weeks? Walden did it, though, haven't you?
No, God, no.
He had a broken leg for 3 weeks?
Yeah. Broken left fibula.
hairline fracture at best.
Yeah. Still.
It's only a flesh wound.
Yep.
It's only
he's short. He doesn't need both legs.
He'll be a little bit taller once it heals. So the creators of this teeter-totter wall spent 10 years on the project, which seems like a long time to me. I mean, you can just stick a metal thing through the wall and
that he's got to deal with two governments. Imagine really. That bureaucracy.
Listen, people stick things through these walls all the time and do not ask either government for permission to do so.
Hmm.
Plus all the cartels.
Right.
A lot of red tape with those guys.
That's probably more so the bureaucracy.
They got their hands in everything, all them cartels.
Bastards.
What they're doing is they're putting a little kid with cocaine on the Mexican side and a big fat guy on the other side, and he slams it down, the cocaine goes flying over the wall. And they're screaming, hold on, kid!
Drug mule catapult.
Exactly. If they
you're
were...
Just gonna make, you're just going to make sure he clears the whole wall because there's spikes on top.
Yeah, there's it's snowing! It's snowing!
Here, Kenny, you try it first.
We need a longer fulcrum on this trebuchet.
Fulcrum, hell, I damn near killed him.
Loop. So, yeah, that's what's happening in Mexico this week.
Watch it, fella. Stomping on my dick.
Another loop.
So, have you ever played
usually
the lottery?
Pays extra for that. Sorry.
Oh, the stomping? Yeah?
Yeah.
Only if he's in high heels.
I'm all together.
I'm making notes on the other laptop over here. He's trying to say something, think of something smart right now. I guess I can hear the hamster groaning as it tries to get the wheel up to speed.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Loop whatever the fuck you want. Loop this, motherfucker.
Oh, goodness.
There's your loop.
So, anyway.
You ain't got no hair.
You just shave that today?
No, Saturday.
Did you put the hard
that's what
wax
I'm talking
on?
About.
They had a hard time pulling off?
Oh, God, no. No. It wouldn't be so bad at the top. Once but you get the to back? The sides, if you try that. Yeah.
Did you Brazilian your head?
He manscaped the cranium.
That counts. That counts.
We all need to do that. Rich, you're next.
How do you know?
Shave it. Let's go.
Just to show unity with me, I don't have cancer.
As far as I know, anyways. I'll find out in 2 weeks when I go for my colonoscopy.
Sorry, bud.
If you're really going to shave your head in solidarity for someone who has cancer, you got to shave the eyebrows, too.
I barely have any eyebrows. It's about as touching as me shaving my head in solidarity with someone with cancer. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, but then you can draw them on a lot higher so you look surprised all the time.
But one a little higher than the other so you look like The Rock.
Uncle Leo from Seinfeld. Jerry, hello!
Jerry!
There's an episode where Elaine can't go to a doctor because they all put notes in her file, so she takes Uncle Leo to the doctor for an appointment and tries to tell the doctor her symptoms so that they'll give him medication for her. But he got blown up in an explosion, so he has no eyebrows. So she draws eyebrows on him. Watch the episode.
See, that's the thing with obscure references. Once you explain them, they're not funny anymore.
Does anyone actually watch Seinfeld?
I love Seinfeld. I watch it every night before bed.
Not Freaks and Geeks?
It just came out today. So
oh, okay.
I'm just catching up.
But how long is Freaks and Geeks?
It's only a season, I think. Might be two.
I'm still stuck on Scrubs.
I'm scrubbed out, and I started watching Psych again.
I want to watch Lucifer. I started, but I have not finished. So anyway, back to our stories here.
Stories? Some guy,
yes, our articles.
We're watching soap operas now?
John Riley just died.
John C. Riley?
C. Riley?
No, not John C. Riley. There's another guy named John Riley. He was a soap opera guy. He's on ABC soaps.
Sorry for your loss.
Is that General Hospital?
I think it was All My Children or One Life to Live.
Is that with Patch and Kayla?
I have no idea.
Is that Luke and Laura?
All Luke and Laura. That was General Hospital. They fell in love. All it took was rape to get them together. Because that's how that whole story started.
That's a really old joke, Craig.
And then her husband went off to space.
Dun, 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 dun.
Was that before or after Robert Scorpio?
That was during the same time. And Anna Devane?
Mm. Tell me more, Craig, about the General Hospital.
It's fascinating. I could watch it every day for half an hour from 4 to 4:30.
Stop! Do you see how he knows a lot about it, too, right down here? This guy in the corner?
What are you talking about? I did watch soaps for one summer in like junior high with the Robert Scorpio, and I thought it was Anna Lavery. Wasn't it Lavery?
I thought it was Devane. Character?
And Susan Lucci.
Oh yeah. Erica Kane.
Erica Kane.
And her daughter for a short time was played by Sarah Michelle Gellar before Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
See, that's not giving it any points for me.
Oh, I love her.
Really?
Yeah.
She's I'm with you, Craig, on that one. I think she is just a very sexy, sexy woman.
Yep. How she got hooked up with what Freddie Prinze Jr. is beyond me.
Well, she wanted to do the Scooby-Doo movie.
Oh, yeah. She wanted to do the Scooby-Doo movie. That's my highlight. That's her highlight of her career, Scooby-Doo.
It might as well be. The highlight of her career was when she told that guy that he could put it anywhere.
Was that Cruel Intentions?
Yes.
It was Cruel Intentions.
It was the only minute of that movie that she was in that was worth watching.
What about the lesbian part?
Part that she was in, I said.
Okay.
She wasn't in the lesbian part, which is why it wasn't worth watching the movie.
Selma Blair.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yep.
Who was the other one?
I don't remember.
Usually you need two lesbians. Right. I remember one of them.
Otherwise, it's just supposition.
Right. She's playing with herself. Could be straight, could be gay. I can't tell.
At that moment, you really don't care.
Reese Witherspoon is in it.
Oh, yeah. She was the innocent one.
Yep. Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe, Reese Witherspoon, Selma Blair, Pacey Witter.
And the twins. Isn't that the one with the twins?
And twins! Anyway, back to our articles.
You keep saying that.
I know, but we keep going on tangents. Imagine that. Off the rails. A Georgia man thought he hit the jackpot when he won $250,000 at a
this
new
guy's
Chevrolet.
A whiny bitch.
And a new
Can
Chevrolet.
We hear the story first?
Yeah, but just know that walking in.
Okay. He won $250,000 in a new Chevrolet Corvette Stingray in a scratch-off lottery game in December, but he's run into a roadblock cashing in on his new wheels. Guy said he purchased one $5 Corvette and cash ticket at kiosk while picking up lunch for his wife at a fast food restaurant. He hadn't previously played the game, but found a $5 bill in his pocket and decided to go for it. The contest promised the $250,000 plus enough to buy a fully loaded Corvette Stingray and cover the taxes and fees. And he gets to keep the difference if anything is left over from the $107,000 allotment for the car. However, the lottery had not secured any car for the four winning tickets that were printed ahead of time. So the Georgia Lottery said, you can win a Corvette, but we haven't bought them yet.
Right.
Corvette had hoped to build 40,000 Corvettes in 2020, but production was stymied by coronavirus-related shutdowns and a UAW strike and only built half the amount, with some customers having their orders bumped to the 2021 model year as a result. This guy balked at the $10,000 markup, which another winner had previously paid. They were told that they had actually lowered the price adjustment from the region's going rate of $25,000 to accommodate the lottery, which hadn't reached out prior to creating the game. I mean, how? I know he's whiny here, but how do you set up a lottery and not have the prize ready?
Because they're hard to get. Normally, they'll make an arrangement with the dealership to hold one for them, but they won't actually have it in their possession. The winner has to go to the dealership and do the paperwork to register the car and all that shit. So there's no point in them actually obtaining the car. The problem is they didn't make an arrangement with the dealership. So they just said, here's the cash value of the car. Go to the dealership and buy one yourself.
Well, then do it.
Right. But he's complaining because the price of the vehicle went up by $10,000 and he wants them to reimburse the extra $10,000 because he doesn't want to pay the difference. But they already paid him enough to cover that as part of his winnings.
And after he shared his story on a Corvette Facebook group, one dealer reached out offering to sell him one that was marked up $60,000. Now, I would pass on that, too. $60,000 markup?
That's crazy.
But he'd have it.
Yeah. So the Georgia Lottery has not responded to any requests for interviews.
Well, they told him buy a different car then of that value. And he's looking at, like, Corvettes. Oh, you poor thing. It's obscene. So, like I said, this guy's a whiny little bitch.
Yeah.
So last week, I think it was last week, we talked about France getting bombed by samosas.
Samoas. Oh, yeah, samosas. That's right. Yeah.
Samosas.
Oh, going back to that article, Stymied was my favorite little rascal.
Mine was Petey.
I know that that is not true. Go on, tell the story.
I don't wanna. Moving on.
It's an inside joke, assholes.
I gotta drop one a week.
Inside jokes?
Yep.
That nobody else gets.
We got a new segment.
That's what makes them inside.
That's gonna be your bit now. Walden's inside joke. You
need a special all access pass for the inside jokes.
Yeah. You have to have known Walden for 43 years.
Right. So last week we talked about the samosas bombing France. We have more food being thrown into space. In celebration of Burns Night, a packet of haggis has been launched to the edge of space for the first time. Now, normally, eating haggis causes an explosive launch.
I get it. That's a poop joke.
I was gonna say it was a poop joke.
It's not too late.
I just meant it wasn't very good.
That means two things.
Two.
It's your
number poop. Two.
Your poop joke.
Oh man, you guys are on a roll.
So a Scottish butcher worked with space education and research firm Stratonauts to launch the 454 grams of haggis in Perth and Kinross this month. The haggis was attached to a weather balloon and soared more than 20 miles above the Earth, equivalent to nearly four times the height of Mount Everest. After taking off from the headquarters in Dunning, it traveled over Stirling, Falkirk, Edinburgh, and the Pentland Hills before landing safely in the borders. He wanted to start the year by lifting the spirits of the general public and was thrilled to work with Stratonauts to take Scotland's national dish to new heights. Burns Night is one of the most important dates on the food calendar for us, and we wanted to mark the occasion by sending the UK's best-selling haggis to the edge of space.
And it'll never come back.
No one wants it back.
Haggis always comes back.
Again and again and again.
Maybe not he for you, but for everyone around you. That's right. 1 square foot of haggis.
That man.
Heal, Sir Richard of Shenanigans, and rise, Lord.
He's going to make us knights of his round table.
Yeah.
But the table's only this big.
Our table's
it's one of those little pizza tables.
Yes.
Our table's an oval because it's got one of those inserts.
Just wait till the Homeowners Association contacts him because he doesn't mow his lawn ever.
We've repossessed your 1 square foot due to lack of interest.
I don't care. I already printed the certificate, so fuck him.
Our next story is a blowjob story gone wrong. She thought she was getting Pop Rocks to help her boyfriend. And instead, it was something a little more explosive.
Oh, that sucks.
Not anymore. A mother claims she was left with chemical burns after she popped a handful of mini fireworks thinking they were Pop Rocks.
Oh.
You know those snappers you throw at the ground?
Oh,
you said snapper.
No, I said it on purpose. She put a handful of the product in her mouth, thinking they were the snack, the candy. She realized they were novelty fireworks sold as trick noisemakers. She found the multicolored box of Fun Snaps among the lollipops in a store when she was buying snacks for her and her neighbors. Code for the lawn boys next door. And as soon as because of the plate,
the mouthful of a sawdust didn't tip her off at all.
Right. The 48-year-old claimed that after returning home and throwing a handful into her mouth, she realized there were small novelty fireworks sold as trick noisemakers. And she said that a product exploded in her mouth, which she said she has never been used to.
But then afterwards, did she swallow the snapper?
I'm trying to see what happened here. The product exploded in her mouth. She was in instant agony before being left with chemical burns on her lips and gums. She claims the mini explosions cracked a tooth, for which she was prescribed strong painkillers to combat the soreness. And the incident left her mouth feeling like it was on fire for a week. Stop, my mouth is on fire.
This seems like a long way to go. Seems like a long way to go to get oxy. Yeah. Some people just really need it.
I remember the moment I crunched down on a handful of the sweets and instantly felt explosions in my mouth.
Now, oh boy, how did she get past the point where they're wrapped in individual little pieces of paper?
Right.
Is she gnawing on pieces of paper and pretending that she thinks that that's candy?
And sawdust, like Alan said.
And sawdust and actual sand.
Yeah.
So she got a handful of that together and didn't realize that that was not candy, that there's a problem here. I don't know if she's more stupid for doing it or more stupid for telling people that she did it.
The latter on that one, the dummy.
Well, you can't get paid millions of dollars if you don't tell somebody what happened.
Well, yeah, a lawyer and a judge. That doesn't mean
be immediately thrown out of court.
Doesn't mean you have to put it on Daily Mail.
You know what I did? I ate snaps and I blew up my mouth.
Dummy. It's the store's fault for putting it next to the candy and bright colored boxes.
Yeah.
She likes snappers and bright colored boxes.
Oh, God. She should contact Gwyneth.
Oh, that's a whole different thing. There's a lot of exploding snappers this week. Now, the worst part is the photograph in the article where she's pulling out her lip to show where she got the chemical burns. Okay, the worst part of the picture is the fact that her teeth are so fucking yellow. You're going to be photographed to be in a magazine. You should probably brush.
Right. This is where I normally keep my tobacco.
Oh, wait. The website ends in .co.uk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
Explains the bad teeth. Part of that picture is her goatee.
Wow. Wow. Alan, you're usually so nice.
I got the COVID. I got the COVID anger.
Is that a side effect?
Well, look at Trump. He got COVID and he was an asshole the whole time.
He was before and after, though.
He was just showing symptoms like really early.
Hey, like I said earlier today on Facebook, I think we need to take a look at this. The Buffalo Bills had a winning record during the Trump administration, and they've lost every game since Biden's been president.
That was fantastic. That made me laugh. It's true. True news. Stop right the there. Steal.
Stop the steal.
Oh, we are too far deep in politics now.
Run into a new bit that we seem to have also. Jobs you can find through the shenanigans job postings.
That's right. More to come.
Rolling Stone magazine seeks. I can't fucking talk. Okay. Rolling Stone magazine seeks.
Please start leaders. A podcast then.
Rolling Stone magazine seeks thought leaders willing to pay $2,000 to write for them. If you want to write for Rolling Stone, you can write for Rolling Stone, but you pay them $2,000.
Right.
You're
basically buying publishing space.
Yeah.
They're offering.
And they're going to make a lot of money off you. They're making the $2,000 you sent them and then whatever they're going to get in their subscription services.
Right. You pay $1,500 annual plus $500 upfront, and Rolling Stone will publish your original content to their website. It's not even in the magazine. It's to the website. They suggest doing so allows members to position themselves as thought leaders to and share their expertise. I think that's a load of horseshit. Will, you know what? You can be published on Niagara's Water Cooler for $50.
Yes.
An article.
You will get an audience of tens.
I'm going to sign up to be an author. I want to be a writer for Rolling Stone and tell them how I own a star.
You better have cash up front, Alan.
I want to sing Tiny Dancer on a tour bus.
Hold me close, Tony Danza.
It's not that kind of website, guys. You're thinking of OnlyFans.
We're not going to talk about OnlyFans. We don't talk about OnlyFans. It's like Fight Club. Mm-mm. When you go on to OnlyFans and find someone you know, not cool.
Ooh.
We'll talk about that one later.
I want names.
Not on while we're recording.
Oh.
I want screenshots.
That's the thing. I just want to know what you guys are talking about.
OnlyFans is a website where people will post their own nudes for money.
More than nudes.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to keep it simple for Alan.
Well, I'm thinking they about a career change, maybe.
And sometimes they dress up like Vikings.
We're not talking about your OnlyFans.
I think there's a market for fat, bald guys. I might be able to make some loot. Quit.
Did you just drop the phone?
I'm practicing being naked.
What the fuck does that mean? It's good. What that means is a good thing is camera's that's not a working.
That's a loop.
I'm going to charge $20 to take my clothes off, $100 to put them back on.
I bet you can raise a lot more money than that to put them back on. Well, rule 36, guys. It cuts both ways.
Yeah. Bald fat guy porn? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's got to be a thing. Rule 36 says so.
So basically, homemade porn.
Yeah. Just like your OnlyFans page.
I don't have an OnlyFans page.
Allegedly.
I have a Chatterbait page.
What the hell is that? No, never mind. Forget I asked. I don't actually want to know what that is, judging by Rich's reaction.
I had never heard of it.
That's funny.
It's a dating website.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Getting to know you.
Intimately. I only discovered, I never even knew it existed. And then a year or so ago, that teacher from Michigan who was doing webcam shows and she got fired from her job. Her husband was also a teacher in the district. They have one of those pages.
Oh, yeah, we did this. Sorry. I remember that.
That's the only reason I knew it. And it popped into my head. So there you go. That and it's bookmarked at the top of my page.
And written down on post-it notes all over your house.
Remember my password.
Oh, don't get me started on that. I got a gift certificate for a nationwide bookstore. And I went to log into my account today to make a purchase. And I log in using everything that I've always used. And it's on, all of a sudden it goes that my membership number and my email and password don't match to work together. So I said, well, maybe I had the password wrong. So I had them send me a new password. I put the whole new password in and I go to log back in. It says that the email and password don't work together. I'm like, I just fucking changed it. So I call tech support, their customer service, and they verify that my membership number has this specific email, which is the one I'm using, and then they're going to send me a link to reset my password. And I can only do it once in 24 hours. I've already done it 4 times at this point.
Well, so, that's why it's not working, jackass.
Right. So they reset my account and they send me this link. I go, I click on the link that the company sends me, and it goes to, you are forbidden to view this page. Like, what the fuck? So I call him back. And the girl on the phone who is, I've talked to this girl 4 or 5 times, and every single time she's giving me a different name, but it's the same girl. I think, where's my pen and paper? She was Claire.
Alan, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. You're not the worst person on this call with technology now.
Right. Her name was Claire. Yay. Then it was Candace.
Claire!
Yes. I finally got in, and I'm like, what the hell? There was a problem at their end with their computer system. It had nothing to do with me, but I was ready to throw my laptop. It was like, all I want to do is take my money, bitches.
They already have it. It's a gift card, you said.
Yeah, they already had it.
they don't want to lose stock. They've got your money. Shit. They're counting on you never using that gift card.
Well, I had 3 of them, and I used them all. There's nothing left on them, so I'll have to reload them.
You said load.
Reload.
Yep. Reload. So more jobs on the Shenanigans jobs board. It could be good for any one of us, I guess. A Japanese man rents himself to do nothing and gets thousands of clients. A Japanese man is earning a living by renting himself to do nothing. With thousands of clients, he's got an enormous following on social media. Anyone could rent this guy from Tokyo for 10,000 yen. He will not do anything except eat, drink, and give a simple response. He started renting himself first in June of 2018 when he tweeted, "I offer myself for rent as a person who does nothing. Is it difficult for you to enter a shop on your own? Are you missing a player on your team? Do you need someone to keep in place for you? I can't do anything except easy things."
That's a loop. A
real winner.
Initially, he had started offering his services for free. However, he now charges to reduce the volume of requests he gets and also discourage time wasters. He sees 3 clients every day. Yep. And he has over 3,000 clients since he launched his services. While people rent him for different reasons, most of his clients are bored or lonely or just want to be listened to. He's being hired to have lunch, pose for photos, accompany a person filing for divorce, catch butterflies in the park, listen to healthcare workers struggling with work. "I'm not a friend or an acquaintance. I'm free of the annoying things that go with relationships, but I can ease people's feelings of loneliness." He quit his job in publishing to do nothing. He has published books about his career choice. In less than 3 years, he's gained 2.7 million followers on Twitter. One of his clients said, "I'm glad I was able to take a walk with someone while keeping a comfortable distance where we didn't have to talk, but we could if we wanted to."
Man, that's a great job.
Yeah. What's 10,000 yen, though? Do we know?
It's a number and a measurement of money.
I'm trying to figure out what it is to U.S. dollars so we can figure
$100.
I'll tell you what it ain't. It ain't no chicken scratch.
Yeah, it's about $100. $100. So he's making $400 a day to do nothing. Maybe he should run for Congress.
Yeah, I've been doing that for free.
Oh,
Rich, this next one is totally you. You're reading it.
Oh, why? It's about you. Don't shake your head, no. The first dinosaur butthole ever discovered is shedding light where the sun don't shine. The discovery reveals how dinosaurs use this multi-purpose opening, scientifically known as a cloacal vent, for pooping, peeing, breeding, and egg laying.
So the same thing Gwyneth Paltrow has.
It's a multi-tool.
It's a Swiss Army butthole, yeah. The dinosaur's derriere is so well preserved, researchers could see the remnants of 2 small bulges by its back door, which might have housed musky scent glands that the reptile possibly used during courtship.
Or hemorrhoids.
An anatomical quirk also seen in living crocodilians? I didn't know that that was a word.
Me neither.
Although this dinosaur's caboose shares some characteristics with the backsides of some living creatures, it's also a one-of-a-kind opening. The anatomy is unique, according to the lead researcher, a paleobiologist at the University of Bristol. That's in England. It doesn't quite look like the opening on birds, which are the closest living relatives to dinosaurs. It does look a little bit like the back opening on a crocodile, but it's different in some way. Its own cloaca, shaped in its perfect, unique way. This guy knows way too much about assholes.
You know what that makes him?
Craig's biographer.
Oh.
Sick burn.
We did not prearrange that, by the way.
I don't believe you.
That's fine. Dinosaur buttholes.
If you guys want to quit playing with your clothes, either leave them on or take them off. Jesus.
Leave them on. I don't know what Craig's talking about. Leave them on.
His camera's off. It's okay.
He might accidentally turn his camera on. Speaking of weird holes,
just
weird
creatures. Mind my own business.
I don't know if you were interrupting my segue or building into it.
Oh, now he's not going to make any noise.
Yeah, I guess not.
Hello?
I don't know what he was doing earlier, but that was throughout that article.
He was looking for his toy dinosaur.
I'm killing two birds with one stone over here.
You're playing with your muscle glands?
Yeah.
Speaking of stinky holes, this Gwyneth Paltrow candle that we've talked about many, many times,
and we still can't get.
Oh, we don't want it. This smells like my vagina candle that the actress peddles on Goop exploded into flames in the living room of a UK woman, that's Britain again, who won the odoriferous product in a quiz. She's smart enough to win. This smells like my vagina, the candle. The candle exploded and it emitted huge flames with bits flying everywhere. I've never seen anything like it. The whole thing was ablaze and it was too hot to touch. It is a candle. It is a candle. That was sort of part of the description of the product. There was an inferno in the room. The woman who lives with her partner said they flew through the flaming candle out the front door. It could have burned the place down. It was scary at the time. But funny looking back, that Gwyneth's vagina candle exploded in my living room. Paltrow launched the $75 candle emitting her private scent in January of 2020. Scent notes include geranium, citrusy bergamot, and cedar absolutes juxtaposed with damask rose and ambret seed, according to
her boyfriend's name is Ambret.
Ambret seed. No, he said.
You get the one candle. Brett. It smells like both.
His name's Brett. He didn't say I.
If we get
Brett.
Some of them around here, the candles around here would have to smell like Burt Dam, Alcott.
And the lake turned over.
Yeah, Fisherman's Friend.
So, Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina is quite dangerous. And
I've been hot, saying that for years.
Do you speak from experience, Alan?
As far as she knows.
I like it. I like it a lot.
He wiggled his way into her life by telling her he was Brad Pitt's brother Arm.
Yeah. I actually am the one approached her. I said, you know what we should do? Let's come up with a candle. We were spitballing candle ideas, and then boom, there we go.
Next thing I know, balls deep.
Balls deep.
Balls deep.
That was the original
my coffee.
That was the original name of the candle scent, but we went another way with it.
That could be another title there, Spitballs Deep. We always get banned again, though.
Spitballs Deep. That works.
All right, Rich. So what's happening in Canada this week?
All right, cue the music.
Canada Watch.
Your listening pleasures, Canada Watch.
Smell like pine trees in moose piss.
Canada Watch. Your furry hat matches your furry underpants. It's a design flaw, or you need a trim.
Canada Watch.
Do you smell like beaver dams and old toes?
Canada Watch.
Your uncle looks suspiciously like an elk.
Canada Watch.
Sure does get lonely up there in the Yukon.
Canada Watch.
We have the polar bears and the milk in the bag, y'all.
Canada Watch.
Hey, Gord. We still like you, though.
Canada Watch.
It's done.
You got to leave a little bit of a pause there before you pretend it already played.
There's no pretending. It actually played. Were you not listening?
And my headphones cut out.
Okay.
In Canada this week, an Ontario barbershop has reopened using the provincial lockdown, using a loophole. Is reopened during the provincial lockdown using a loophole that the owner claims allows him to operate legally. Chrome Artistic Barber in St. Catharines is cutting hair again after they said they revamped their salon to become a production and film studio. Owner Alicia Herder set up cameras, lights, and microphones in her shop and said people who come in for haircuts are now auditioning for a future part in a TV show or podcast. Under Ontario's provincial lockdown laws, which came into effect December 26th, film and television productions are allowed to continue operating.
That's a wonderful thing, because right outside of St. Catharines is where they're filming Picard season 2, and they can start filming. So it's exciting.
Nice. Why are they shooting in Canada?
Cheaper.
But everyone's already boldly gone there, like on the weekends.
Only when they're 19.
According to their website, clients can book adult auditions or child auditions. The booking details say the guests will receive a complete haircut, neck shave, blow dry, and style, all while candidly discussing life, its ups and downs, and all in between. So basically, they're going to shoot a reality television show about people who cut hair and the customers who get their hair cut, which I think is a great idea to have a television studio, because in the regular business hours for the salon, they can do this reality TV thing. And then after hours, they can shoot porn, and it's a completely different kind of blowjob.
Exactly. Yes.
They just got to adjust the chair. She said that clients are not required to wear masks while receiving their haircut because the government rules say performers are exempt. She said she needed to keep her business, which she has operated for 18 years, open because she could not survive another extended closure. She said, I'm a single mom. I'm not about to move into low-income property with my son. As a business owner and a mother, I had to make my own call. She says she's also furious that big box stores in the province are allowed to continue operating when her business should have been closed. You're telling me Walmart can sell bananas at 17 that 17 people have touched, but I'm not allowed to operate? It's morally wrong. You can't expect us to shut down.
I say bravo to her.
I agree. There, some of these, I understand that they have to make restrictions, and I think there's a purpose to it. I'm not one of these people who think it's like a conspiracy or anything like that. But sometimes when they're drawing the lines, they miss the mark. In other news.
Agreed.
A woman arrested on Vancouver Island last month has sent a thank you card. This is probably the most Canada Watch article we've ever done, because it so highlights how much nicer Canadians are and how they're just slightly off. A woman arrested on Vancouver Island last month has sent a thank you card to police, giving them a glowing review for her stay in Royal Canadian Mounted Police cells. The West Shore Royal Canadian Mounted Police received a handwritten card in the mail after the woman was booked at their detachment in December. In the card, the individual writes that they were at first nervous about being held. Once they were here and they were able to interact with the prison guards and the people that were looking after them, they felt really comfortable, and they thanked us for our kindness, which was actually nice to see. This is
sorry about like, all this. Sorry.
This be like, what was that show on HBO with the guys in the prison?
Oz.
This is going to be like Canadian Oz. It's going to be called A's.
Sorry we arrested you. No, I'm sorry that I had to be arrested.
Sorry about the butt fucking.
Oh, just paw for the course.
Without disclosing the prisoner's identity, the detachment posted a photo of the card to social media. It reads, I wanted to let you know that I appreciated how helpful and kind everyone was, especially the four jailers who do a tough job and are often underappreciated by the people in their care. Boy, that's got to be the most Canadian thing I've ever seen.
Thanks for the delousing.
Oh my God. This is the, I didn't read the rest of the article. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police spokesperson said, one thing I found surprising that I didn't even think of was a lot of people were mentioning that this was one of the most Canadian things they had ever seen. They're relating it to Canadian culture, and I have to say, I think that's accurate. It's right in the article. She gave it 4.5 stars. That's freaking awesome. It's unclear what the woman was arrested for and if this was her first day with the West Shore Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Anyway, that's what's mounted. Happening in Canada this week. I said mounted like 4 times.
Do you have a website for us this week, Rich?
I do. And it's another job opportunity for our listeners, if they're so inclined.
The Shenanigans job board is full this week.
It kind of is. All right. So the website is candyfunhouse.ca. See, it's also an extension of Canada Watch. So this is what's happening in Canada this week, too.
Worlds are colliding.
Kind of. So you go on candyfunhouse.ca. And scroll down and click on the link for careers. And there you will find not just one job up for grabs. Candy Funhouse is hiring 10 people to taste candy. Two of those positions are full-time. They all pay $30 an hour.
Canadian. Although,
yeah, it's Canadian. But you're eating candy. I mean, come on. Although both ads indicate right. that the positions can be done remotely, they also say that the full-time position requires the candy tasting be done in person, which presumably will be in Mississauga, Ontario, where the company is based. The job entails confectionery taste testing, including taste samples objectively, consider aspects of taste, texture, and quality. Full-time position will require in-person taste testing. Part-time position will have confectionery products shipped remotely.
And you could be a U.S. or Canadian citizen.
I'm getting to that.
Okay, we'll just cut that part and you can talk about it.
Oh! Candidates must follow in-house confectionery rating system with a brief two-sentence description of each product tested, and the descriptions may be incorporated into their website and social media. The requirements, according to the ad, preference will be given to applicants who have an interest in candy, whoever that isn't, pop culture and media. Other qualifications include a high school diploma, because no one can eat candy until they've got a high school diploma. Basic writing skills, good communication skills, fluent in English, passionate about confectionery, not having any food allergies, and being at least 18 years old. They can also be a U.S. or Canadian citizen, and no candy-specific experience is required. Who doesn't have candy-specific experience?
Right.
Everybody has candy-specific experience. The last day to apply is February 15th, 2021.
I think somebody should apply on Shenanigans.
There you go. You can do it remotely too, Alan. Supplement your other job income while you're performing your duties. You can also eat candy.
That's right.
I'm the only one touching my nose.
I'm the only one on a carb-free diet.
My face tells me I'm in the placebo group. Sorry. So that's a brain candy reference.
Got it.
So the whole time we've been doing our show, Walden has been playing video games. Have you conquered the Romans?
No, they just declared war on me. So now I'm going to go kick their stupid asses.
Why did they declare war on you? What did you do?
Sparta! I'm just minding my own business.
Minding your own business, you know taking Romans over their are. Land?
You know how those Romans are.
Those Romans are the worst.
Romans.
Bring in the lions.
You know they're bad because the B-52s did a song about their hometown.
Rome, if you want to, I get it. Weren't they from
Athens, Georgia? Athens? You went? Yeah, I can't hear you anymore, Walden.
What happened?
I don't know.
Well, you just answered me, so you can hear me.
Yeah, I can barely muffled. Hear you. Your volume went way down.
Yeah, technological dummy.
And now you're muted.
I'm turning it off and back on again.
Oh.
Did it work?
No, you're still muffled. That's all right. We're almost done.
How's this? I put the earpiece up.
It's also muffled. Make sure it's plugged in all the way.
Bluetooth.
Make sure it's plugged in all the way.
Bluetooth!
It happened just as you were adjusting this headset, this headphone, other side. Yeah, you were twisting that one and it started getting muffled.
I'd be like, I'll take a hearing test in elementary school.
There it is. You're good now.
No, I was screaming.
Say something.
Titty balls.
Yay!
Yeah!
I figured it out.
All right.
Did you jam some earwax in the microphone there?
Probably a little bit. I wear these all day for work, and then on Mondays I get to wear them with you assholes.
My ear canals are
freaking on fire.
Use something swollen. Like these. Use something like these.
I got no headphone jack in my phone.
Oh. Don't they make headphones like this that are Bluetooth?
They do.
Possibly.
Uh-huh.
They
do. I just freaking got a set of Sonys that have the plug. So yeah. When I'm in the studio, I have those.
Right.
But I can't use them on my phone.
Get a 9
They don't have a microphone either.
Get a 9-pin adapter for a 3.5mm jack. That is a thing. But you had to pay more. Mine's built into my phone.
Same thing.
All right, let's wrap this up. The website of the week was candyfunhouse.ca. Check out the careers. Maybe you can get a job eating candy, and I hope she likes it.
And also, diabetes.
So that'll be it for Shenanigans this week. For Rich, Walden, Allen, I am Craig. Thank you for listening to Shenanigans.